Behind those warm and cozy nights at home, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People producing more U.S. natural gas, people building grid-scale solar capacity, people turning landfill waste gas into pipeline-quality renewable natural gas, and people delivering all of that power where it's needed. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got some weekly watches to go over with you guys. One in particular, I'm so excited to just obliterate for how bad it is. Cannot wait to talk about it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. What's up, Sam?
Hello, Sam. And then after that, we'll jump right into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Trolls Band Together.
Hell yes.
So, Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say, let's do it.
Hey, this is Mikey T.
And the Grant.
And William.
And we are the Failing Hollywood Podcast. But you're listening to the All Bros Podcast right now with our good friends
Caleb and Jonathan Rose.
Yeah. And they are the best movie podcast.
Second best
movie podcast.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Listen to these hot takes coming up.
I'll give them the number two trophy.
Number two.
Jumping right into weekly watches. Caleb and I both, I feel, watched a decent amount this week.
We did. I was freaking pumping these bad boys
especially
out.
Caleb. He freaking like knocked it out of the park. Like, holy shit.
I know. And I don't even think I got everything off the list. Like, I think there's still like one or two that I'm missing.
Damn, dude. Holy shit. Yeah, so anyway, with me, I guess I will start. So in preparation in preparation for this episode with us breaking down the third Trolls movie, I rewatched the first one, because I haven't seen it since since it came out, which was 2016, which is freaking insane that this movie is that old already. Excuse me.
Oh my god,
it doesn't feel like it's newer than that.
It does, right? So rewatch this one. I mean, honestly, it's just as fun as I remember. It really is. The Trolls movies they're the movies that like you could turn your brain off to. They're very vibrant, they're colorful, the story's very simplistic, the music's good. Just it's nowhere on the lines of like, you know, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish when it comes to DreamWorks, but I still have fun with these movies. This, of course, especially the first one. So like, I love the characters of Poppy and Branch. They're great. Although I will, what I'm kind of confused about, and I don't know about you, Caleb, at the end of this movie, Branch turns back, or like his colors turn back into his regular, like full on, like very vibrant, bright colors.
And then they don't keep that with the next film.
Yeah. With the second or the third, like they're not as dim as they are in this one. But like, what the hell? Like, why did he go back to his emo phase?
Yeah. So, I mean, they keep his skin color, like they keep him that, like that blue, but but his hair goes back to being black.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't have kept it dark blue.
I know. Like, it's just continuity, people.
Yeah. Like, come on, DreamWorks. What the hell? You're better than this. Yeah. So just, yeah, like, I genuinely had a fun time with it. I hadn't seen it since 2016, like I said. So I'm glad I rewatched it, and it got me pumped for the second and third. So I would actually give it a $5 Tuesday. Like on the big screen, the colors would pop so well. The soundtrack would sound so good. So
this is one you would need a really good theatrical experience for. I don't think you could go in to this with just anybody.
This is true. This is very true.
I think this would make a killer sing along.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, it's kind of funny that like whenever they release them on like Blu-ray stuff like that, they always make it as the sing along edition. That's always the tagline for the physical release, but they never put a sing along version in theaters.
Right? That's like, so dumb.
It's not a thing anymore. Like, they don't do sing-along releases in theaters anymore. It's kind of bullshit.
Sure. Probably, I'm sure they a lot end up of people losing money on that.
Yeah, because let's face it, not a lot of people want to sing in public. I being one of them.
Yeah. I think that's a very special type of movie that you're able to do that with. Like, I know that around Halloween time, they do a lot of viewings of Rocky Horror Picture Show where it's sing along, but I think it's because that movie has a cult following. Mm. So it's I feel like that makes sense for films like that have that kind of following.
Yeah.
Versus this is just modern kids movie.
Yeah, that's fair, but it's a good modern kids movie.
It is a very good kids movie.
So first one, $5 Tuesday. And so in preparation, watching the first one, I had to watch the second one, which I had never actually seen. I did not watch this when it first came out. So this is my first time seeing Trolls World Tour. And once again, genuinely good. I love that it really expands on the universe. You get literally no Bergens in, because you know, in the first one the villains are the Bergens and trolls versus Bergens, that's the plot of the story. But I like that in the second one it is just fully based on just trolls. That is all it's based on. And just like the idea of like different types of music and the trolls that are associated with that, how they had like a falling out and then, you know, wanting to get them all back together, both good and bad. Just, it was genuinely fun to watch. Like I said with the first one, these movies are nothing special. They're nothing groundbreaking, but I never was bored. The hour and a half flew by. I freaking love that all of these are clocked in an hour and a half. They never go above that. And for Trolls, I think that's perfect.
Absolutely. I think any more would be a little bit much, but an hour and a half is also the perfect time for younger kids.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, like feel exactly how I did with the first one. Just the colors were so vibrant. The story is actually pretty damn good for, and I'm not even going to say for a Trolls movie, because like, even for like any DreamWorks movie, I feel that like everyone, like, I think that they hate on the Trolls movies just to hate on them because they're like, oh, they're so just deemed at children. That's all they are. And like, yeah, so many,
duh.
Yeah, but like so many people will compare these movies to like the two Boss Baby movies. And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? Boss Baby freaking sucks. In my opinion, that is like the lowest of the low when it comes to DreamWorks. Trolls is nowhere near that.
I wouldn't say Boss Baby's the lowest. Like, I enjoy Boss Baby to a point, but I mean,
I do not.
Trolls is just solid good times. Like, I mean, you got the killer soundtrack. I mean, that's what I freaking watch it for. That's what I enjoy watching it for.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when I have to watch it. I'm not saying that's not anything bad against the movie. That's just, I do have to turn it on quite a bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but solid movie. Yeah. Super solid movie. Yep.
Super solid sequel. And so it was a nice way to get prepared for this third one, which, as you know, is our headliner of the evening. So I'm on the same level as the first one, $5 Tuesday, because it's just as good. Like I said, the whole trilogy is just consistent, and I love that. This trilogy I would compare to another one of DreamWorks, Madagascar, where all three to me are genuinely good. They're not groundbreaking. They're not like on like top tier level of DreamWorks, but they're good for what they set out to do. They actually have, I feel, really good characters. I feel Poppy and Branch are really, really good characters. And just, I don't know what they set out to do with these movies. I think that they accomplish very much so.
Yeah.
So that is the second one for me for weekly watch. And then the last one, unfortunately. So for anyone that knows, or for anyone that has listened to this podcast for quite a while, you would know that when it comes to real life serial killers, I find John Wayne Gacy the most interesting. So I try to watch everything, and I mean everything, that is put out on him, whether it be true crime documentaries, movies like this. True crime documentaries, excellent, solid, all of them. The movies, on the other hand, okay. Some are better than others. This one was god awful. You know,
was it really that bad,
dude? I get why someone would want to turn a real life crime like Gacy's into their own horror movie, and also, you know, change some things a little bit. But can you at least get some things right? Because literally one of the first two things, like, this wasn't even 10 minutes into the movie that pissed me off that they got wrong.
No.
One, the kid that is watching him from across the street after Gacy moves in, he's like, oh yeah, he just moved in with his mother and sister. Gacy never lived with his mother and sister. It was just his mother. When he moved into North Park Township? Yeah, God, I should get these. I should know these names. When he moved there, the only people that were with him were his mom when he first moved in, and then once he got remarried, his wife and her kids moved in, and then, you know, his mom decided to move out. But anyway, his sister never lived at 8213 West Summerdale. So that was one. And speaking of 8213 West Summerdale, his address, they got the freaking dimensions wrong of the house. And I think they only did it to add dramatic effect, because there are multiple shots where you see one of his victims crawling on the floor and him walking down the stairs, very intimidating and shit like that. Whereas in real life, he only had a one story house.
I was going to say, like, even I know that.
Yeah. It's like, you just did that to like do scenes like that. Like, that's freaking stupid.
Yeah, dude, that is absolutely something that, like, when you started talking about stairs, I was like, I'm just like, wait a minute. Those pictures the pictures that I saw didn't look like there were stairs in that house.
Yeah, no, it was just a one level house. But just, yeah, so there was that. And then, oh my God, I mean, I hope these actors got better work, or if they're actually better actors, because the plot that we get here with them is so stupid. With the kid that lives across the street from Gacy, living with his parents, he sees some stuff and he believes that Gacy is hiding he's hiding bodies under his house because none of the guys that he brings into his house ever leave. Shocker, his parents don't believe him. Even when he tries to go to his friends, they're just like, "Oh, just leave Mr. Gacy alone. He's fine. He's so normal." Just no. And then freaking throughout, like at points when he's just Gacy, like he laughs uncontrollably, like when he's like, oh, like on top of one of his victims. But when he puts on that when he puts on the pogo outfit, they make him just turn into the.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The freaking Joker, like, laughs uncontrollably, just, no. Gacy was not like this.
Dude, this would be a hilarious episode of Gacy Gazette if you were to talk about this movie with Brave Face.
Oh my god, I would have so much fun. Yeah. Oh god, that'd be so much fun. I should try to convince him, but I know he's so busy right now. Because I think they're like almost done with their Gacy documentary, which I'm so excited to see.
Oh, freaking, that's gonna be the shit.
They posted he posted a picture of like the actual sign it was like the apartments that his mom lived in. And so he actually posted a picture that he was there, like doing interviews or some shit. Like, he is really going everywhere that Gacy was in Chicago and is freaking insane. It's so cool. Or Illinois, sorry. Just, oh my god, it's so freaking insane. And for anyone, you know, watching this live stream, as you can see, for me wanting to talk about this movie, I had to wear a Gacy shirt. Because I had to, you know, I was so excited to bash this movie, even though, you know, it's a small segment weekly watch. I don't care. I had to let people do not watch this movie. If you want to know anything about Gacy, do not watch. He was not like this. They do nail that he was a regular average Joe guy. Because he very much was that on the surface, but of course, you know, underneath, we all know who John Wayne Gacy is. But just he was not the freaking Joker. That was not Gacy. And just there's so many other problems that I have with this movie. Like, there is one more thing. There is a shot that they do as downtown Chicago. They have the camera literally this up front to the actors just so you can't tell that there's modern cars in the background. That's the only reason I can give as to why the camera is that damn close. I am worked up very much, so Sam's movie pissed me the hell off. I shouldn't be getting this pissed off about a real life serial killer, but when he's not portrayed the way that he is, that the way that he was, how conniving, evil monster he was. And I get it. This is supposed to just be based on the true story. They changed some stuff to turn it into a horror movie, but at least get the true, simple facts right. The stuff that people really should know about Gacy. At least get that right.
Dude, that's the stuff that's like scarier. Like, why are you trying to Hollywoodize it? Like, just do like a freaking reenactment would be freaking scary as shit.
Like, for anyone that has seen Dahmer, the Monster Dahmer series, if you watch the final episode where you get the connection between Dahmer and Gacy, and you saw one of Gacy's victims, literally perfect. They portrayed that so perfectly. That is how John Wayne Gacy was.
Gosh, this would be a really great discussion. Do we need to reach out to Grayface and tell him when he releases the documentary, like, you should have, like, tell him, like, we'll release it or we'll do
an episode about it. Of Gacy Gazette with him. Oh, that'd be so freaking cool.
That'd be the shit.
I don't know if I pointed it out already. Like the only positive of this movie is the guy that played Gacy. Like, he looks like him, like, genuinely. Like, they actually picked a guy that, because, like, I feel like in some, like, they've made him way too skinny or way too big. I feel that this guy was, like, for the most part, like, perfect. Stature
wise. Dude, even what I saw of him, like, it was his freaking actor picture on IMDb. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, they nailed that casting.
Yeah, he looks like John Wayne Gacy. I just wish that he could be in a better movie. Because I feel in the right movie, or, you know, limited series, whatever, he could actually do a genuinely good job pulling off John Wayne Gacy.
Do you think, like, his acting would have, like, needed help? Or do you think
I think it was a writing problem, because when there are scenes where, like, he's actually just genuinely talking to, like, the kid and his parents, the acting is actually still good. It's just when they tell him, oh, hey, go full on Joker here. And I'm just like, oh my god. Jeez Louise. Man. But anyway, so I'm sure it's not surprising whatsoever after that long rant that I would give this a do not bother. Because it does not understand Gacy at all. It fails in what someone should know of how much of a conniving, evil monster John Wayne Gacy was. He was not the Joker. He was not that. That is the best way that I can sum up this movie. They try to make him out to be the Joker. He was not that.
Yeah. Man, the uncontrollable laughter, that is very reminiscent of just the Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie.
Dude, I'm sure, they probably took that and ran with it. They're just like, okay, Joaquin Phoenix Joker, John Wayne Gacy. Let's make a horror movie with that.
It's like, go.
Got this.
Shit.
But, Caleb, what did you watch this week?
This week, I watched a bunch of shit. Starting off, this was a rewatch for me. I rewatched Warrior. This movie is fantastic. It is so well done. Like, the combat, like, there's not a lot that they get wrong about this. In terms of, like, the training and stuff, like, all of it is, it's super intense, and I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's more or less a boxing movie. I mean, I know it's like MMA, but fighting is fighting. So it's just kind of one of those situations, but it's cool. So the premise is that there's some multimillionaire that he's just, like, bored or whatever. And so he creates this fighting competition called Sparta, where the winner of this tournament gets $5 million. And typically when it comes to fighting, you have, like, the one big battle, and then it's like a few months, and then you have another one, and then a few months, like, it's kind of that, like, they cycle it out a little bit, right? Just so you can get, like, healing and rest and training in between your matches. so he was like, all right, well, let's do this where it's these hardcore tournament style fights like every day. So it's like they just kind of work their way through the roster, and it like you could have a fight like two. I think they had one where it was like two fights in a row on the same night, like for some of the people. And it's supposed to be a situation of like stamina or whatever. And it's interesting because everyone kind of has their own, like between the two brothers, they each have their own reasons for wanting to win. Tom Hardy's character is a Marine that went AWOL. And while he was like running away or whatever, he saw some Marines that were in danger. He went and like rescued them. So he's viewed as like a war hero when he's okay. like, when he comes back, just because of what he did. And he made a promise to his combat partner's family that he would like provide for them. So he's wanting to like basically donate all of the money to her or to his buddy's family, because his buddy's like passed away. And then Joel Edgerton's character, he's like broke. Like he's a physics teacher and he's like on the verge of losing his house. And so that's what the $5 million would go towards, is paying off his house.
Okay.
And whatnot. So like I said, really good motivations, but like it's a really well character driven movie with a good focus on like the fighting. And they do a great job with the fighting. Like it's super well choreographed and everything.
Okay. I'll just check this one out.
Yeah, it's a great movie, which is exactly why I'm going to be giving this a full price ticket.
Hell yeah.
The next one that I watched is The Hill. So this is the story of this kid who has a degenerative bone disease, who is apparently like one of the greatest hitters in baseball. And it's a story of his struggle growing up with his father being a preacher and pushing, like trying to limit him in a sense, like telling him what he can and can't do, what his bones are capable of handling and what they're not. It's a little overacted. It is walking a fine line of being a Hallmark movie.
Oh damn.
Yeah, I mean it's cool for like if you're into like the whole sports history stuff, but is aight. Not, like I said, nothing too special. So I'm giving this a nothing better to do, because this is honestly, it's background noise. I'm not into baseball. I think if anyone's into learning like sports history, this would be interesting to them. Anyone else, it's just, like I said, it's background noise. It's a borderline Hallmark film.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. The next one I watched was Big George Foreman. This one was actually really good. They talk about the struggle of like George Foreman in his career. So, I mean, you know much about George Foreman, or you just mostly know about his grills?
Mostly just his grills.
Mostly the grills.
Yeah.
So here's like just a quick summary. He was constantly getting into trouble as a kid, and so he joined the Job Corps, and they were trying to teach him skills and stuff to become a productive member of society. And he ended up getting in trouble with them because some dude stole his shoes and he went and like beat the kid up or some shit, or like chased the kid down. And one of the counselors or people in charge there, they, or he saw like the potential for him to be in boxing, thought it would be a good outlet to get all that anger out. He ends up freaking picking up boxing really quick, ends up becoming an Olympic level boxer. Like, he wins the gold in the Olympics in like almost a record amount of time. Cause I think when he won the Olympics, he had only been boxing for a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then he went on to become the heavyweight champion of the world. Super successful and whatnot. And then he went and fought Muhammad Ali and got his ass handed to him like five ways to Sunday. And and so like that kind of like killed his fighting career. And he was like continuing to try and fight, but he kept losing. And there was one fight in particular. He walked out of the ring, but I guess his heart stopped or something. Shit. And so he was only like 28 years old, but his heart gave out. So he like was dead. And then he like comes back, and then he's had like this big spiritual awakening and becomes, goes to become a preacher. Runs his own church and everything, and opens up a youth center, which is cool. So he's actually approached by someone from his congregation about like training their grandson. And he's like, no, like I'm not here for it. I don't box anymore. And turns it down. But then he recognizes that kid was on the news because he got caught up in like gang activity.
Oh.
Like a week after that whole discussion, and he felt like horrible about it. So he's like, all right, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. He opened up a youth center where they train for boxing and whatnot. The person managing his money made some like really bad investments, and so he ended up becoming broke. They were on the verge of losing the youth center when he's like, all right, well, I'm going to pick up boxing again and become the heavyweight champion again. And he was at this time, he was like 40. So he was like at the age most people are like long done.
Yeah.
So he starts training again, gets his old team back. And he was fighting with rage, like during the first portion of his career. And he's like, nope, I'm fighting different. Like I'm fighting with God on my side and all this, and ends up becoming the heavyweight champion again. They have like a match that like brings in millions of dollars. And he like puts it all into the youth center so it can like stay open
for
ever, practically.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah. And so they were just wanting to break even. Like, I think they were only looking for like a couple million for the HBO fight. And it ended up bringing like tens of millions of dollars in.
Damn.
Yeah. Freaking crazy. And then he's like, yeah, so, I mean, we got all this. And then the guy, he just like kind of like grazes over it. But he's like, yeah, so like you have some other investments, like that commercial you did for those grills is doing really good. And I'm just like, gosh, I want to know how he got into the grills. But they kind of skip over that and talk Darn. About like the rest of his life and everything. It's a good movie. It's a super solid movie.
All right.
So I'm giving this one a $5 Tuesday. Like, this is one I would really like to see on the big screen.
Nice.
The next film I watched is called Pain Hustlers. Yeah, so this has Emily Blunt and Chris Evans in it. And yeah, it's a freaking opioid crisis movie. And how freaking shady that business is. And I gotta say, it really aggravated me. And like, in a way that I know it was supposed to.
Okay.
I will say they try to glamorize like what they do in terms of the con, more or less. So they make like thousands of dollars off of doctors prescribing a medication. And that's like the freaking gist. So they're trying to like convince doctors to prescribe something to people. Like, I think they said off of one patient being prescribed a certain drug, they get paid in terms of their commission. It's like $40,000 a week. Like, super, it's like crazy profitable, and it's super shady. And they're like, but it's not illegal. It's not illegal until you start pushing the doctors to prescribe it to people that don't need it. And it's, yeah. And it has, I think they talked like the drug that they were pushing had fentanyl as one of the ingredients. And it was supposed to help for pain management for cancer patients. But then they started pushing it for like minor headaches. And so once they started doing that, then it became illegal. And the story is freaking crazy. I don't know if it was in the based off of a true story list on Netflix, but I don't know if this was like an actual company or whatever. They did just show a bunch of examples where that shit happened. Like at the end, they just showed like news clips and whatever.
Okay.
But pretty well acted, super interesting. Like I said, Emily Blunt and Chris Evans, freaking powerhouse team. And I think this came out last year too. So it's a newer film. It wasn't bad.
All right, cool.
I'm giving this one a stream it.
All right, sweet.
And that is the last thing that I watched this week.
Okay, hell yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
I do want to point out really quickly, I made a big boo-boo, and I'm going to call myself a true dumbass for this. Norwood Park Township is the area that Gacy lived. That's where his house was located, not his mom's apartment. I feel really dumb. How did I forget that? I don't know. Yeah, I feel really stupid for that. Grayface, if you're listening, please don't hate me for that. But my opinion still stands. Do not watch Gacy Serial Killer Next Door. It is awful. But anyway, Caleb, what do you say we get? Oh my God. What do you say we jump right into our headliner?
I say, let's do it.
All right. So, like I said earlier, this week's headliner will be our breakdown of the third Trolls movie, Trolls Band Together. So, Caleb, you want to let everybody know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, but with this movie, we're going to be talking about the animation, music, the costumes, but with, again, animated movie, we're going to be talking about the character design. And then we are going to give you our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen Trolls Band Together, we are going to be posting that spoiler warning now. So if you listen beyond this point and anything is spoiled for you, it is your own damn fault.
Yep.
Yeah. So now we will begin our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
All right. An infant Branch and his four older brothers, John Dory, Spruce, Clay, and Floyd, perform as a boy band called Brozone. When their clashing egos prevent them from performing the perfect family harmony, a powerful ability that trolls can achieve when they are in complete sync, the brothers argue and break up the band. Branch is left alone to be raised by his grandmother, Rosie Puff. Did they ever actually say her name?
I don't know if they did.
Okay.
I freaking love that grandma, though.
Oh, she's amazing.
Dude, I freaking I forget the line that she says. She, like, when they kind of do the cut to her, and she's like, oh, like I play for the love of the game, but I stay for the money.
Yeah, something like that. Like,
I laugh so hard at that.
So good.
I freaking love shit like that, dude.
All right. In present day, about a month after preventing the rock apocalypse, Branch and Poppy attend Bridget and Gristle's wedding in Bergentown. They are interrupted by John Dory, who reveals that Branch's closest brother, Floyd, has been captured by Velvet and Veneer, two Mount Ragin teenagers who wish to be pop stars. The siblings have imprisoned Floyd in a diamond perfume bottle, which they use to extract his essence and improve their singing, although the process could eventually kill him. As the perfect family harmony is the only thing that can destroy Diamond, Branch reluctantly agrees to help John Dory find their brothers and rescue Floyd. Along with Poppy and Tiny Diamond, they set out in John Dory's armadillo-like portable van named Rhonda. They find Spruce at the Vacay Island Resort, where he has changed his name to Bruce and started a family. Bruce is reluctant to help until his wife and 13 kids convince him to do so. The group later finds Clay at an abandoned Bergen miniature golf course inhabited by a hidden colony of pop trolls who did not know that the Bergens are no longer their enemies. Having been separated from the other pop trolls when they fled the final trollstice, the hidden troll colony's leader, Viva, reveals herself to be Poppy's long-lost sister. At first, Poppy is delighted, but the visit turns sour when Viva refuses to believe the Bergens have changed and tries to stop Poppy's group from leaving the golf course. They manage to escape thanks to Clay, and Poppy and Viva separate with broken hearts. Meanwhile, Velvet and Veneer continue to strip Floyd of his essence. Velvet reveals that she forged Floyd's handwriting and sent a note to John Dory in order to bait Floyd's brothers to come and rescue him. Furthermore, Velvet and Veneer's assistant, Crimp, invents shoulder pad suits that enhance the extraction, which the siblings plan to use when they capture all of Brozone. The trolls make it to Mount Rages, but once again argue and fail to reach perfect family harmony. When his brothers decide they will split up again after saving Floyd, Branch scolds them for abandoning their family and still treating him like a baby, reminding them that he lived his whole life alone after their grandmother got eaten. Branch, Poppy, and Tiny locate Floyd on their own, but Velvet and Veneer capture John Dory, Clay, and Bruce, making a rescue even more difficult. Branch and Poppy confront Velvet and Veneer when they start mingling with a crowd of fans, prompting them to drive away in their limo. During the ensuing chase, Velvet and Veneer begin using the shoulder pads to extract the essence from Branch's brothers in order to put on a show. Branch and Poppy are soon helped by Viva, who joined forces with Bridget and Gristle after they stumbled onto the golf course during their honeymoon. Seeing that Floyd is just about out of essence, Branch tells his brothers that they are simply that they all simply need to put aside their egos and work as a team. They, along with Poppy and Viva, perform the perfect family harmony and break free of their prisons just as Floyd loses the last of his essence, but he is quickly revived. Veneer, who had been second-guessing Velvet's machinations, publicly confesses their crimes, simultaneously enraging his sister and sending themselves to prison. The trolls return to Vacay Island and witness Brozone's comeback concert, joined by Kismet, another band branch. Kismet? Could they have, like, tried to, like, make it sound like NSYNC? Oh, no, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's like, why are you guys playing with us like that?
Yeah.
We know it was NSYNC, you losers.
We all... I just imagine the when they were thinking about, you know, like the ideas for a Trolls 3, and they're just like, okay, how about like something with a boy band? They're just like, okay, and what if we can convince NSYNC to get back together just for this one movie and to release one song after so many years? F yes. So joined by Kismet, another band Branch was once a part of. Later, Poppy and Viva joined Brozone under Branch's proposal as honorary members. I was so ready for him to propose to freaking Poppy and them get married. I'm just like, oh, perfect ending to the trilogy. But at least it was admitted that they are boyfriend and girlfriend. So I'll take that.
Yeah, I think that's about as good as we're going to get for now.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Sorry.
Okay, cool. Oh, man. Dude, this movie was fun.
It really was. I feel you could say that about all three Trolls movies. Just the stories may be simplistic, but who gives a shit? These movies are just so much fun. This one especially. This might be my favorite one, honestly. Because yeah, the idea of Branch being a part of a boy band breaks up so many years later, they have to come back together. And, you know, it's also an excuse to have an ending where NSYNC also gets to come back together. Can we also talk, cause I was thinking about this, you know, like the people that played Branch's brothers, those actors, great. How would you have felt though, if instead of, at the end, they say, oh, you know, Branch wasn't only in Brozone. He was in another band or boy band. How would you have felt if the brothers in Brozone were played by the NSYNC members instead of the ending that we got where they were just another band?
I would have almost preferred that.
Right?
I kept hearing like Eric Andre's voice coming from the brothers. I'm like, okay, so is he like the only one that's not played by a member of NSYNC? But yeah, so it wasn't until like the end that it was revealed. I'm like, ah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, cause, I mean, I feel like everyone from NSYNC's like has dabbled a little bit in acting.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. But I mean, don't be wrong. I mean, it was cool that they actually got NSYNC back together just for this movie and to release that one song.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't like if even if they didn't do that, I would have preferred if they did something where maybe NSYNC were the singing voices of his brothers.
That's fair.
I mean, because obviously, like Eric Andre is not freaking singing most of that shit.
Yeah. I mean I hope David Diggs is singing because it sounded like him.
Yeah, I mean I figured like he might and Kid Cudi did.
I don't know, it did sound like Eric Andre, but they might have like very much what's the word, auto-tuned a lot of his voice.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just a great singer and
we're sounding like assholes.
I know, maybe. There wasn't on anything on IMDb that's distincted like that he had like a singing voice, right?
I don't think so. I don't know. The only other thing I've seen Eric Andre in is freaking Jackass Forever.
Yeah, I'm just looking real quick, see if there's anything that's like singing voice. Or if what, John Dory has another? No, it doesn't seem like it.
Hmm.
All right.
Interesting. So it wasn't. I don't know what else is there to say. I mean, I will say I did like that what's the word? So I like that you brought back Gristle and Bridget in this one, because I will fully admit I did miss them in the second one. So I was glad to see them back.
Same.
Honestly, I was totally fine that we don't get to see a lot of the other trolls from the first two movies that we've come to know. I was totally fine that when they go on this journey that it's just Poppy, Branch, and Tiny Diamond. Those are the only three that come from the first two movies. And I found Tiny Diamond annoying as hell in the second one. I loved him in this one, actually.
Dude, same.
He was really good in this. Yeah, just like they do a really good job of I feel getting them all back together. The story, I feel it makes sense. It's very simplistic. Like, that is one thing that I will give troll movies. They're very simplistic stories, but that shouldn't knock down the movie, because they're told very well despite that. And like, it just all made sense that, you know, because of, you know, how close Branch is with oh my god, I'm horrible with names. Floyd, Shocker, he'd be the one that is kidnapped, and Velvet and Veneer use him to help their voices, and then the other three, include with Branch, you know, have to band together and save him. That was really good. I especially like, because I thought that was it the one with the green hair, or was it? He was green hair, right? Or was it yellow?
I think I know who you're talking about, and I think it was green.
Was it Clay?
I think it was Clay.
Okay. I was expecting there to be like such a huge, he was going to make such a huge fuss about joining them, you know, like being like, oh no, it will never work. That's stupid. No, I will never join you guys, like instantaneous when they bring it up. I'm like, okay, you know what? That actually surprised me. So you know what? Kudos to this movie for surprising me with its character direction.
Dude, the only thing I wish that they would have, actually, this is more of a character design problem than anything. I found the characters a little hard to follow, because it's like we only get to see them for a really short time at the beginning, and then their design changed a lot by the end.
Yeah, dude, like seriously, like the only one that,
or when they're reintroduced.
Yeah, the only one that's consistent is John Dory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like literally the only thing that changed about him was his vest.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Which, you know what, I'm not knocking. I actually liked that. The yet of Clay and Bruce definitely had huge changes to their characters.
Yeah, and I'm not against like the big changes.
Yeah, no, it worked. It definitely made sense, because like usually when, you know, you see bands break up and they're just like, oh yeah, let's get the band back together, when they're doing these kind of montages of getting that certain member, it always has to be like, oh my god, you've changed so much, like what happened to you? Like you're not even recognizable. It's a stereotype with this kind of stuff, and I'm not knocking it. It makes sense, but definitely nothing new there.
Yeah. This was definitely one of those get the band back together type movies. And I mean, we all know how those freaking go.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like formulaic at a certain point, where it's just like, oh, well, hey, I think I found this guy. We're getting the band back together. Musical number. Like, and then after the end, he's like, I'm in.
Yep.
Like, it's basically a heist movie with a musical number in between.
Oh shit. Yeah, that's a good way to
I mean, but despite the simplicity of it, I do think it was still, like you said, really, really fun.
Yeah. How did what did you think of Velvet and Veneer as the villains?
I actually liked them.
I did too.
They're like they're the people I hate to like.
Right? Yeah.
But I found them to be like so funny.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that with acting, but yeah, the two that they picked to play them, perfect. Like, so, so good.
Yeah, I honestly would have almost liked to see more of them.
Dude, right? Same.
They were so interesting. It was crazy. Dude, like, any clip that I saw, I thought they were going to be annoying, but I'm like, they're just so endearing. They are. But no, I liked it. I liked them a lot.
Whole joke about we grew up poor. We deserve this. We lived in the suburbs.
Our parents were dentists.
It's like, yeah, but nobody liked us.
Ugh. Yeah, I freaking love that. Gosh, that, and I will be addressing that in writing. But yeah, I freaking loved that little bit of dialogue. That was so funny. And honestly, I think those two, I don't know him by name, but Amy Schumer was a freaking perfect fit for that character.
The person you're thinking of is Andrew Rannells.
Yes. I recognize his voice. He has a very distinct voice.
He does.
And I have seen him in quite a bit of live action stuff. But yeah, love his voice. And it works so well, like just in contrast to Amy Schumer's.
It did. Yeah.
So yeah. So where are you sitting with story?
Yeah, just like super solid story. I guess, okay, not super solid. It's like, it's not a generic story, but like it perfectly fits for a Trolls movie. I said, that's not a bad thing.
Better pieces, but enough of a like that Trolls twist on it that makes it interesting.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to sum it up. So I think I'm going to be an 84.
I am actually just a hair below you at an 82.
Hell yeah.
All right, next up we got writing. Bro, there were some sneak attack jokes in there. Like I'm not going to say, I feel like there's been better writing in other movies, or in like the other Trolls movies. Like the humor, it hits.
Yeah.
But not as well as I feel it typically does. Like this is one of the weaker scripts where I feel there was more funny about like one and two than this one. But there were like the ones like the tiny like I said, the sneak attack jokes were fantastic.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, like I like the one that came from the grandma, the like I play for the love of the game, but I stay for the money. Freaking love that. Like I laughed so freaking hard. And then and then like what we were just talking about with Velvet and Veneer being like, you want to go back to like where we had practically nothing? Then the please sir, can I have some more? And then it just jumps to like our parents were dentists, and then jumps back to the suburbs, and they're just like, how was school today? Stop attacking me. Like I don't know what it was about that joke. It was so good.
Yeah, no, it really was.
Like I said, lots of sneak attack jokes.
Yeah.
Like they came out of nowhere.
I can't remember. There's a part where Poppy and Branch are, this is like towards the end when they're climbing up with their, you know, like sticky hands, and Tiny Diamond says something about, you know, carrying him, but I can't remember the full joke, but I remember freaking like that caught me off guard too. I'm like, okay, that was actually funny.
Yeah.
But I can't remember
the joke. Was it the freaking the pacifier?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. That was hilarious.
That was so good.
When Branch is driving and he's just like, all right, Diamond, hit me. What are you talking about, man? Like that freaking made me laugh. I know. And he's just like, don't you do me dirty like that. And he's like, all right, fine. And tosses it to him. Like, dude, perfect.
Yeah.
I think that was sold by everyone in that situation. Yeah, it was. So well done.
When John Dory first shows up at Bridget and Gristle's wedding, I can't remember. I swear Poppy, when she finds out that it's him, or maybe it's in another scene where she's like, oh yeah, you're the old one. You're the, like, she's literally like saying all these things except for he's like, no, I was known as the leader.
Yeah.
Like, she was saying, oh, you know, you're the old one. You're the bland one. You're like, damn girl. He gets it.
Yeah, no joke. He got freaking roasted.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, the jokes were good. I don't think they're on the same story as, or at the same level as the story, though.
That's fair. I can definitely. I would probably be. I'd probably be an 80.
It did not quite crack 80 for me. It's a little bit lower for me, so I'm putting it at 79.
That's completely fair.
Yeah. All right, next up we got acting. So going through this cast, we have Anna Kendrick, who voiced Poppy, Justin Timberlake, who voiced Branch. We got Eric Andre, who voiced John Dory, which is one of Branch's brothers. Let's see. We got David Diggs, who voiced Spruce, or the artist formerly known as Spruce, now goes by Bruce.
Yeah, you got to give Clay respect for actually sticking with that. It's fair.
I know. I love how he kept like thanking, like, thank you. Thank you, Clay. Speaking of Clay, Clay was voiced by Kid Cudi. Then we got Amy Schumer, who voiced Velvet. Andrew Rannells, who voiced Veneer. And then we got Camila Cabello, who voiced Viva. I think that's how you say her name.
I think so. Who was Poppy's sister.
Yes. I thought she was going to be in this a bit more than she was.
I did too. I mean, I loved all the parts that she was in, and the way that they reacted. There's like, we're going to have a long talk with Dad. Like, that's so Dad. That shit was that shit was great.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Did you skip Floyd? Like, who voiced Floyd?
Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank who Floyd was.
Floyd was the one that was in the container.
Oh my god, yeah, I did. Dude, what the hell is wrong with me? Oh my god, I am so sorry. Okay, let's find out who that was.
Yeah, I mean, I got it up right now.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Floyd was voiced by Troy Sivan.
I don't know who that is. Kind of looks familiar.
I do not recognize a single thing that he has been in.
Huh.
He's been in a lot of music videos, so I think he's a singer.
Okay, I mean, not bad for it. I mean, this was his first voice acting. Solid job.
Oh, you know who he freaking played? I think he was young. Yep, he was young Logan in X-Men Origins.
Oh, that's cool.
That is pretty sick.
All right. Well, now I'm even more sorry that I forgot to include him. My bad. That's I'm fine. Sorry.
Like, I liked his performance. Like, I yeah, like I thought he gave a decent performance. He's not in my top three or anything. I just remember that there was one other brother.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Damn. Anyway, so what's your top three look like? I have a feeling ours is going to be pretty similar on this one.
Okay. Number three, I would actually give to Eric Andre, who played John Dory. I really enjoyed his character. I loved his voice actually for this character. It worked really well. And just out of like the new brothers, well, not new brothers, out of Branch's brothers, he was my favorite to watch. So yeah, he's number three. Number two, I would give to Justin Timberlake, played Branch once again. He's great. Loved him in the first two, loved him in this one. Nothing really different to say. I mean, I know we never broke down the first two, but his performance hasn't changed. It's just as good as it was in the first two. I love him as this character, love this character. And he was once again great. And I feel this one, he even got more of a chance to shine, because, you know, with it being, the story focused on his brothers and the relationships and all that, even gave him more of a chance to stand out. But even though it's more so Branch's story, I'm sorry, Anna Kendrick is Poppy. She stands out in every single one of these movies. I would put her at number one in all three films, because she is so energetic as this character. She makes this character so much fun. I love whenever Poppy is on screen. I love it so much. And when her and her sister interact in this, makes me love her even more. She is fantastic. So that is my top three.
Dude, freaking agreed. Yeah, I had a feeling it would be exactly the same, and I was 100% correct.
Hell yeah.
I would say where I think you believe she's the big standout, I think her and Justin Timberlake could be a coin flip.
All right.
Like that's fair. Where I'm a little closer to it being like a coin flip between them. Justin Timberlake's an underrated actor, dude.
Dude, he really, you know what the biggest flex that I feel he should be able to showcase is the fact that he voiced, and I know no one watched it, but the fact that he voiced Boo Boo and Yogi Bear, and you can't even tell that it is him. His voice impression is so freaking good in that movie.
It is really freaking good.
Nothing against Dan Aykroyd, who plays Yogi, but I'm sorry, it's just Dan Aykroyd doing a voice impression of Yogi Bear.
Yeah,
you still can hear Dan Aykroyd in there. You cannot hear Justin Timberlake at all in Boo Boo.
I know, dude. I thought that was a joke when I first saw it. When they're just like Boo Boo, voiced by Justin Timberlake, I was like, bullshit.
Yeah, that's funny. And then you see it, you're just like, oh god, like yeah, he did the voice. Like whoever voiced Boo Boo the first time around, and ones that have come after that, like he did justice to the character. He was fantastic.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, there's not a hell of a lot that he can't do. Like he's done like some serious movies. Like he's done like obviously comedies. Like he plays like a super wide range of characters.
Yeah.
A really good one that kind of showcases his acting. I know it's like super cheesy, but I like his movie In Time.
Yes. That movie gets way too much hate.
It does. It does have a very like, I don't think it needed to be as long as it did. This, it feels like something that could have been like an episode of like Black Mirror or something.
All right, that's fair.
But it was good.
It really was.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, I mean, anyway, getting back to this movie, the performances were great. At least from the main cast. I think some of the extras could have been a little bit much.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you said, I liked Tiny Diamond a lot in this movie compared to the second one, which I hated him. And nothing against Kenan Thompson. He's great in both times that he's played him. But I am glad that he was a lot more tolerable in this time around.
Yeah, very much so. So where are you sitting with acting?
I think I'll just be slightly above my story score. So I think I'll be at an 86.
I'm actually sitting right at your story score. So I gave it an 84.
Okay. Dude, we are so close in this. I love it.
We are. I mean, there's a little bit more of a separation than there typically is, but usually it's like one off. So it's not too often that it's two.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, next up we got character development.
Like I feel you have to compare. I'm assuming you did Branch.
Yes.
Okay. I feel you have to compare Branch's character arc in this movie with the first two, because he has come quite a long way, being how he was in the first one, you know, didn't want to be associated with anybody, hated everything, to now he freaking, he's honestly living a good life. He has a girlfriend now. Just it's really nice to see how far he's come from one to three. And adding that he was in a boy band, like you think that would just like feel out of place, maybe like, oh, well, where the hell was that? And why wasn't that pointed out in the first two? But it doesn't. It makes complete sense that the way that he is in the first one, how we're first introduced to him, the way that his brothers just left him makes complete sense as to why Branch is the way that he is. And seeing that, you know, he decides to go with John Dory to free Floyd, and, you know, he's actually excited that he actually gets to see his brothers again and get them all together. But then literally as everyone's been brought back together and they're heading to Floyd to rescue Floyd, they're just like, yeah, so after we rescue him, we're breaking up again. Yeah, because, you know, we can't handle each other. And just the freaking like turmoil that Branch goes through this movie, to where, like, you know, he's mad to see his brothers, but then he's happy to see him, but then once again he's just like, well, you guys are leaving me all over again, this is bullshit. And then of course, you know, at the end they decide, no, we're gonna stay bro zone is back. It's great. It's a simple, you know, it's many would say it's a simplistic character development, excuse me. But for just how much I've gotten to know this character through these three films, I actually really enjoyed it. The Branch in the first movie, I never would have thought that I would have loved him as much as I do when looking at the third movie.
Yeah, they do focus very heavily on his growth, which I think is pretty fun. I mean, they have little snippets for Poppy and whatnot, but I think a majority of their growth is coming from Branch.
Yeah. I feel the second, I don't know. Would you say the second one is Poppy's movie for character development?
Mostly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I like the methodology, like behind like the Trolls movies, because what it feels like they're doing is, instead of being like, oh, let's continue this story of like, let's see where we can take it and blah blah blah, like moving forward, it's more just like, okay, well, you know what we never addressed in this one, like we never like outright said that Branch didn't have a family before. We just, all we had was he lived with his grandma and she got eaten.
Yeah.
Because he was singing.
Dude, forget the fact that when he says that, and Clay's just like, wait, grandma got eaten? Poor Clay didn't know.
Yeah. And it's, so yeah, I mean, it's that. It's, gosh, but what was I saying? What was the point I was trying to make? It's fun how they talk about stuff. It's like, again, it's things that they never address, where the second movie, it's just like, oops, the dad has a secret. Surprise, surprise. Other trolls are out there. And then this one, it's like, oops, surprise, surprise. Secret family. Like, I hope that they keep that train going, because it, where it's just like, oh, dad has another secret.
I mean, I forget the director's, what was his name? Because he directed the, he didn't direct the first one, but he directed this one and the second one. Walt Dorn. He straight up said, he's got a lot of stories, for trolls and these characters. So if, and I mean, this one was successful enough. It was, the budget was 98 million. Yeah, or 95 million, box office was 208. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
So he said, if the interest is there and the box office is there, he's glad to continue to make more and more trolls movies.
That's fine. I think with what Trolls is, and it, like I said, it's something visually pleasing for children.
Yes.
And it's musical, it's fun. Like Iris, when we were watching it, was jumping around and dancing to certain songs. Like, that's what it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't need to be any great cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
And so with, I mean, just getting into the character development, like it doesn't need to be a character driven story or character driven anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, talking about Branch, he had an arc. It was fine. It wasn't anything like groundbreaking or whatever. It was exactly what it needed to be.
Exactly.
So this is probably where I'm going to, it was as average as it could get. And I think that is just purely in benefit of the film.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I'm sitting maybe like a 76 with character development. This was just barely above average.
I think I'm just going to be slightly above you at a 78. It's like, you said, very much average or even slightly below average. But just, I still really, really enjoyed the character development we get from Rancher.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got animation.
I mean, just as solid as it was with the first two. I will say with when they decided to make a animated Trolls movie, I am very much glad that they did not make them truly look like the toy that they're based off of. They even make that joke in the first one. Those are like the ploy trolls that they do to distract the Bergens.
Yep.
So thank God that they did not go with those designs. Because that would not have been pleasing to the eye. But the designs that they did go with for all three of these are just, they're so, I really like it. The animation just pops. It's vibrant. For how these movies are set up, honestly, the animation impresses me. Like, I can understand why the budget is almost $100 million for almost all of these, when it comes to the animation, because like, it is, I feel it's really freaking solid.
Yeah, it's solid animation. It's nowhere close to being like the best thing in the world. Like, this doesn't even come close to touching what Puss in Boots was.
Oh, definitely.
Like, it's good. I think a lot of the action sequences looked a little odd at times. Okay. Like, there was some movement that would happen occasionally where it felt like it wasn't fully compositioned.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I enjoyed the animation on this. I'm still fairly high. I'm like, nah, I haven't decided. Where are you at?
I was just really enjoy the animation, not only in this one, but with all three. But yeah, you're right. It's nothing groundbreaking. So I'd say I'm probably at like a solid 90.
Yeah, I'm going hair below, sitting at an 89.
Fair.
All right, next up we got music. It's a Trolls movie. The soundtrack is freaking bitching.
Yeah, it's so killer. And add in that we got a freaking song that reunited NSYNC after years and years. I feel that just made it even freaking better.
Yeah. Dude, I like that they're not fully jumping on the modern music train. Like, they are hitting classics.
Yes, definitely.
Like the what's it called? The Sweet Dreams song.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really well performed. Obviously, it had a bit of a more modern take on it.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked really well.
It did. Like when John Dory and Bruce are like, they first come together and decide to sing their first song together after so many years. I think it was Candy Girl. I think that's the name of the song.
Yeah, I think.
That's definitely an older song. That is not one that a lot of people this day and age would know about. But the way that they perform it, freaking great. And when Branch jumps in, it's even better.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the soundtrack right now. I mean, they got, yeah, You Were Right, Candy Girl, You've Got It, Motown Philly, Everybody, Backstreet's Back, Staying Alive, 9 to 5, Better Place, Family, Perfect, It Takes Two. Like, it's such a good freaking soundtrack, dude.
For real.
Yeah. So the song that I like, my favorite song, has to be the opening to the portion where Branch and his brother start singing and they're all trapped in the glass or the diamond.
Yeah, container. That was awesome.
Like that had a killer buildup.
Yeah, it did.
So, yeah. Freaking love that, and all of the other songs too. Like, I'm not the biggest fan. Like, the only thing that affects the soundtrack for me personally, and I'm not going to affect it because I know this is a personal preference, I'm not the biggest fan of mashups or medleys.
Oh, so like combining two songs?
Yeah. Where with this, they did it with like a bunch of different songs.
Yeah, because like that scene I was talking about, like you first get Candy Girl, but then once Branch comes in, jumps straight into the Backstreet's Back. But of course, they say Brozone's Back. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. I know that's a personal preference, but I
get it.
Yeah. It's not affecting the music score for me at all. I'm having a hard time not giving this a 10, though.
I would give it a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we got character design. So this is just how like the characters looked and everything. Trolls, it's a classic look.
Definitely.
Like, at least now, like the updated modern Trolls, it's a classic look, very distinctive. But in terms of this movie, I feel like they should have either been consistent with how the brothers looked at the beginning with how they looked at the end, or when they were like first introduced, like I think there should have been some more consistency there, because it seemed like everything about them sort of changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it was their figure that changed, and with some of them, like the Dreamboat one, like that made sense because it was for a gag.
Yeah.
But like some of the others, like I want to say Clay, like he went from being like kind of classic troll build, like kind of how like they all kind of started off looking like how Branch does.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they kind of went to looking like wildly different.
Yeah. For I think Clay was the worst, not worst, but like the most obvious. Like he I would dare say wasn't even recognizable.
Yeah, very much so. Like I actually almost rewound the movie to be like, that's not the same freaking dude.
Right? Yeah.
So I think that there should have been some level of consistency there, and I am going to ding the movie for that.
That's fair.
Just because from like I'm trying to think from like a kid's perspective, that'd be hard to follow.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
Like, especially since we only see them for a short amount of time.
Yeah, that is true.
So, other than that, it's hard to argue with like how the characters looked. So, or like how distinct their look is. So, I'm probably around a 9 for costumes.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to match you there.
All right, last up, we got our own personal score. So where are you sitting with that one?
So with this one, like pointed out, Trolls is the rare, it's one of the rare trilogies, in my opinion, that all three are they're consistent. And that's a very good thing. They're all consistently good. They're nothing groundbreaking. They're no Across the Spider-Verse or Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, but they're fun kids movies that I feel even adults can enjoy. And this third one, I had just as good of a time with it as I did with the first two. The Branch and Poppy are great characters. I love seeing them. Their characters develop even more, with this one. And the inclusion of Branch's brothers is great. I had a really good time with this third movie. So personally, I would. I think personally, I'll be at an 84.
Not bad. I'm sitting in that ballpark too. I might be a little bit lower though. This may be my least favorite of the three.
Okay.
They're all pretty much on the same level. Like the difference, I feel like the difference between my personal score on this one versus the others is maybe a point. Like it's not a huge difference at all.
Yeah.
But I'm giving my personal score an 82. I really dig how these movies are made. Yeah. Like you stated, they're consistent and they're fun. And for something that's meant to be for kids like this, it hits the target on the head every freaking time.
Yeah, it really does.
So, I mean, and the soundtrack is killer. It is perfectly acceptable of a thing for parents and kids to watch alike. Like there's nothing wrong with this movie. For like, it's just, yeah, there's nothing like truly like wrong with this. The like any of our score problems there, it's mainly nitpicks.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And just like from our perspective as adults, kids aren't going to regard this. This is more than fun enough for them to to watch and see.
Yes.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm giving this one an 82.
Not bad.
All right. So with that, that wraps up this week's breakdown. So going through these scores real quick, starting off with story, we had a pretty decent start and then an 83. The writing took a bit of a dive, sitting at a 79.5. Acting jumped right back up to an 85. Character development is our lowest category, sitting at a 77. Mm-hmm. The animation is sitting at an 89.5 because it's DreamWorks and it looks really good. Music, surprise, surprise, sitting at a 10 out of 10. And the character design is sitting at a 9 out of 10. And then our personal score for this movie ended up averaging to an 83. Okay. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Trolls Band Together is a B.
I think that's perfect.
I think that is excellent.
Yeah.
Like that. Awesome. Freaking love that. Yeah, this is the perfect ranking for this one. All right, let's see where this one ended up ranking. All right, so this one is sitting at an 85.87%. This is our new highest B movie.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, right? So out of 44 B movies, this is sitting at number one.
Nice.
And in like our total ranking out of 269 movies, actually, that's probably not a great category or a great ranking because most of our movies are B minus, B plus movies. So there's not a whole lot of C plus, not a whole lot of C minuses, like, and there's just less and less. So doing it that way is probably not accurate. Anyway, so yeah, it's sitting at an 85.87%, which puts it below Shazam Fury of the Gods, as well as Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Okay, I can agree with that one.
It is below Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming. And Sing 2.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And let's see, going the opposite direction, it is sitting above Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
I'm going to bite my tongue with that one.
If it makes you feel better, it's 0.06% difference.
Okay, that doesn't make me feel a little better.
It is also sitting above Halloween Kills.
Yeah, okay, I can accept that.
All right, and Onward.
You know what? I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah, it is also above The Flash.
Oh, damn.
And it is above Holes.
Okay, not bad. Not bad ranking.
Yeah, not bad at all. I think this has a pretty decent home.
Agreed. Definitely.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. All right, well. If you guys liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, which I feel Spotify is usually the platform where everyone listens to podcasts, or at least mostly everyone uses Spotify?
You would think, but a majority of our listens come from other sources.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Surprising as hell.
All right. Well, cool. If you prefer to listen on YouTube, you can also find us there if you want to listen to the podcast there. You can find us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of those. We are at The Allbros. You can email us, theallbroschannel@gmail.com. Check out our website, tinyurl.com/TheAllBros, or you can also check out our merch store, tpublic.com/user/TheAllBros channel. Yeah. I don't know what else I was going to say.
Making it super interesting for everyone, Rose.
I am. I'm good at that. I'm good at that. But yeah, so this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys next week. Deuces.
See ya.